the book, it may have reached Ireland. It's one of the limited edition Book Among Friends, Last Days of a Year. Some of you have seen it?
No.
So, Last Days of the Year, and then underneath it has in parentheses 1994. In 1994, during the Kartik season, I was in Mayapur, and then after that, I wanted to do a writing retreat. So Madhu arranged that we rent an inexpensive farmhouse, which we got in Kol Nikolpag, Kenmare. We went there for a few weeks to write. And first I wrote a book called In Search of the Grand Metaphor, and excerpts of that were published in another book of mine called Breaking the Silence. Then after that, I wanted to write without any structure at all, just a series of free write sessions. And that became this book. And here it is, Last Days of the Year. We had this house, and it was cold, and there was no central heating, of course. And I had one little room where I was writing, and there was a fireplace in there, and there was the kitchen, very old-fashioned house. And the man, Dennis, he lived in his own house. He was a single man, an older bachelor, Irish type farmer, who took care of his cows, getting them ready for slaughter. And he had a very old father, too. So he would sometimes talk with Madhu. And with me also, I would meet him out when I took a walk. But other than he, we didn't meet anybody. And I went on writing. So mostly these were the activities, the external activities were tending to the fire and taking little walks and then going to the typewriter quite a bit to write or handwriting. I'm going to read a few selections at the beginning of it just to give you a feel of the book. And then we'll start the combination slideshow and reading. There would be prose and there would be poems. This is a poem. This is a firelight sonata, a song of sputtering flames. I'm not going to give unseeming jest what we call prajalpa, because this is a song for shivering as you pull on your long underwear. I apologize for dressing in front of Prabhupada, but there is no other place, and I can't just stand on ceremonies. I am a fool. This is the poem of an invertebrate vertebrae, a poet with a violin and no squeak, writing in a modern age without catgut, the homogeneous milk of humankind. As the wind howls, and my dear friend makes hot tea in this house where we have no water, I look forward to the days passing one by one while I do my projects, preparing classes where we read Gita texts and write, and I will read. I am on a third class express train to heaven. This is the suffering of no complaint, the babble of the brook, the stones and mud never frozen, the sheep who have to die splashed with blue dye, the landlord and his Christmas all alone, with no woman and no celibacy, so drunk. This is the free that doesn't know what he should do, sometimes show. But he behaves, acts cool, collects quotes, and sometimes clowns. Don't tread on me. This is the barefoot, the black knuckle skin floor of kitchen song. This is the fire in the stove and the fireplace, the wind with cold fingers that always finds us. This is the little bit I put on the page. And a prose section. Keep living in the present, thinking of His divine grace. I want to renew the contract I signed as His disciple. I want a new relationship with Him, one in which I read His books and represent Him as best I can. according to my age and realization, and the circumstances within ISKCON, and yes, according to my proclivity. As I write, I pause to see how the fire is doing. Looks like I won't have to tend to it for the next hour. On my right is Prabhupada in Murti form. This is not a mere statue. He is there for the one who loves him. Do you want to serve him? He has kindly come in this form. As the Lord can do it, so can the pure devotee. Prabhupada is worshipped all over the world by his followers. Please stay with me, Prabhupada. I am foolish, but desire to see you and hear from you. One feature of this last days of the year is that I spent my birthday. So that's one reason I picked the readings for today, as a contrast. I chose to be away from all disciples. I did that a couple of years. And then both my disciples and I felt that it would be better that I not do that. But it was a kind of a lonely experiment. And there's a reference here to Madhu trying to get some Akadasi recipes to cook on that day. But there's one more poem, and then we'll start these slides. Here is the blue sky, now getting darker. Madhu pondering a cookbook to make Akadasi preps. I didn't ask him to, but he wants to. I will be happy to write a non-birthday ode. And on Christmas, who knows? Maybe nothing, but routine. Then leave here on time, bags packed, and heading for the long drive to Shannon, on over the Atlantic, always chanting the Lord's names for protection. Krishna, Govinda, Hare Krishna, Nrisimhadev, dear Prabhupada, I mean the real one, not the false, the real one and me, the real one, who is a servant of the Lord, proven by service to his devotee. It's got to end that way, as I have said several times. So the pictures that we'll show, they don't have any particular connection to what I'm reading, except done by the same person and same hand, you could say. Okay, let's see if we've got good enough light to show. That's his... That's the best we can do. Oh, no. Oh, that's good. But I can't read. All right. So I'm going to try a trick here of reading and sometimes glancing up and seeing what the picture is and maybe making some comment about it. And Chaitanya's going to let her roll. Happy quiet 55th birthday. I'm not dying yet. At least that's my opinion. It's moksha to Ekadasi today, and the flames are jumping in the fireplace. I'm feeling okay to be here. We have planned no big escapes and expect no big revelations from Krishna other than what he kindly is giving. Prabhupada said we have to become fire to enter fire. We have to have a suitable body to enter the spiritual atmosphere. That's like quite like what I was doing there, walking outside that house in the boots on the bog. When we are fully serving Krishna, then Rishikesh will reveal himself to us. But if we remain unchanged, then how can we expect? I don't expect, although I aspire. I want the full darshan as Narada received, and I want to have it as a follower of Lord Chaitanya. Therefore I pray in the sannyas mantra every day to offer myself as a seed into the yajnik fire of Gopi Bhav. I want to be pure as Prabhupada expected. Since it is my birthday today, I'm going to allow myself the gift of free riding. But first I need a sponge with which to wipe my floor and some paper towels and an extra pieces of wood for the fire. Give me that benediction. Allow me to let off steam and to talk tonight in a therapeutic way about why I allowed myself to become guru in New York and what subsequently happened. I also want to think about how I can write more sensitive letters to my correspondents, take more time at it, and of our travel plans. I would like to think over what someone said, quote, "You may like the excitement of traveling to Sicily or Gita Nagari each year, but you will not always be able to do it just because it happens to enliven you. Your health may not permit it." I cannot imitate Prabhupada. I just read how Prabhupada vomited twice in the car to Bhaktivedanta Manor and asked for a wheelchair on the plane, but when it didn't come immediately, he walked. I can't keep going on as relentlessly as he did, and neither is my traveling worth so much. The movement does not depend on me to do it. I have to consider all that. My health slows me and my lack of advancement. I am neither a great preacher nor an absorbed Babaji. I said I would be permissive on my birthday and would write whatever I felt. There's a limit to that, I know. Therefore, I offer my birthday to Lord Krishna. I offer myself as a seed to the yogic fire. I want to be the servant of my spiritual master. In the meantime, Madhu cooked sweets, and we celebrated by eating them. We would have distributed the leftovers, but Dennis says he doesn't eat sugar or salt. The cows, however, were happy to receive some prasadam. It has been a slow, quiet day, but I got some work done, polished classes to give at disciples' meetings in January, read a humble track of day's events. The heart, where is the heart? What does it mean to chant vocally and then fix the sound in the mind and then bring the whole package, mind and words, down into the region known as the heart and there feel a tender warmth? This is the language of Orthodox Christian prayer. And I admit I find it attractive, but I cannot manage to experience it. The Hare Krishna mantra vaporizes in the air when it comes out of my mouth. You see, you feel something, some sense of worship, but not quite in the area of the heart. Because if your heart is already crowded, like the smoking section on a plane, how can you expect to receive the Supreme Lord, all pure, in that chamber? Walked today. The pastures were filled with strollers. I found another path. I had chosen three different routes for such a situation. One, the closest, was through a field of sheep. Decided against it and struck out for a path in back of the house. It was muddy but sheepless. Inconsequential, my day. But I chanted, moving my counter beads. It's like a exercise in devotion to paint Prabhupada's face. And I feel it like when I do the lines. Anyone who does this, they're very standard from the photographs, the lines on his face, the way his mouth is down drawn. After a while, you get to see how they're always the same. And it's a stylized thing. But it's another way of worshiping him or being with him to draw those lines and try to make different colors, perhaps, or different emotions. Sometimes even offensive thoughts come, and you ride with them and keep going. And it's quite a thing to do. As I glanced at that, getting nowhere, I heard Dennis's notorious tractor approaching. It's almost surreal how it moves up the hill. Maybe he will see me through the window. He has come to load wood into our shed. I thought he might be carrying a parcel. Mother Kamadaki might have sent Ekadasi sweets by mail, or at least she promised to send Ekadasi ingredients. No matter, that package is too late. More importantly, however, the parcel contains the Srimad Bhagavatam volume, which I will be ready to read in less than a week. Thump, thump. The wood pieces go into the shed. If he sees me working, he may get the idea that I am not a bum with money who sits indoors and does no labor, as he does. A strange cultist who prays to the statue Dennis probably glanced at on this bureau, surrounded on both sides by pictures of six Goswamis and Nrsingadev. I don't really care what he thinks. I just want him to leave us alone, and he mostly does. Thump, thump, the wood. This quiet day, I make no farce. Didn't stand up on a Vyasa-san and say, like Muktananda Swami said, "There is Mother's Day and Father's Day, so why not Guru Day?" I didn't say I was God or that you were or that we are all God. didn't roar, "The mercy of Lord Chaitanya." I just walked and read and told you about it, or at least as much as I could. What I didn't say, I didn't even know myself. My fuel box is empty, and I need more wood. Maru comes in. Does he have the parcel? A quiet day. No bloodshed. No political coup. No fall down. Maru wrote the only homage I received today. He prays I can continue a life dedicated to sincerity and honesty. I reply, I welcome those words. They don't embarrass me because I want those virtues and don't claim to have them yet. Also, faithfulness to Prabhupada. Yes, I reply, I want that, but not out of sentiment and compassion, according to my capacity. In 1995, let us try to go forth. We can't count on always traveling and lecturing or writing books like this, but while we can, as the new year comes, take it for what it is, and let's go on serving our Master. Wherein lies our happiness? FedEx. I receive sometimes FedEx. Oh, that was good. We were reading about the waiting for the FedEx to come, so it finally came late. Sometimes I get my manuscripts FedEx, and in some of the paintings I use this and United States Priority Mail as a symbol for this, the priority and the speed with which we should give to our spiritual life. That's the most important thing. Those courier packages are sometimes marked extremely urgent and that sort of thing. So in my collages, I use it for a symbol of the priority of spiritual life. Priority japa. And that eagle, you know, the American U.S. male eagle. He's a symbol of steadiness and speed. Get the whole government behind him to get you to get that package to you. Priority is Krishna consciousness. Writing for Krishna takes authorized knowledge. The priority bird has become kind of obese there. He's got dentures now. Priority bird. There's a double meaning there for those who are hip. Oh, yeah, that's sort of like, Chaitanya saw this, he said, that's kind of like me and Dennis meeting outside on one of my walks. Priority bird in combat, the bull. I put tilak on people, and that kind of salvages all the art, spiritualizes it, although sometimes I don't. that I, it's an act of converting the people. And I don't wait until they look like refined people. Sometimes they look like really rough people, and I hesitate. Well, how could I make this person a Vaishnava? Someone who sees the painting may see that I may think that this person is too unclean to be a Vaishnava. But I go ahead and do it. Preaching spirit. Often two figures, I don't know whether they're dancing or fighting, or one is teaching the other. I almost always draw bare-chested men with little dhotis. I don't know why, it just comes out like that. My Vaishnava upbringing, I guess. Self-portrait type. Stephen, do your parents let you behave like that at home? That's something a teacher once said to me in high school. No, ma'am. A lot going on there, Prabhupada and someone like me, and yet as auspicious as Prabhupada is, there's some creepy characters. Snakes. I said sometimes they're talking, but this one they definitely look like they're fighting. This is a picture. I'll take a little time to explain it. As a pastime, I read about in the book that Shivaram Maharaj wrote, Venu Gita. He said that Krishna arranged once a pastime that Radharani be glorified throughout Vrindavan as the queen of Vrindavan. So Vrindadevi announced it from the sky with words like this: "Behold the glory of the Lord." So then everyone had to get some post under her reign. And Krishna, he went and applied to the Sakis. And they said, well, what is it that you want to do? He said, I would like to be the constable. And have a uniform and go around Vrindavan every day and make sure that everyone is obeying Srimati Radharani. So that was like quite a lower position that he signed up for. And so he was given a uniform and everything and a scribe like that, so I painted it. And then what he did is he hid his flute in the hair of Lalita as the constable, and he said, "Oh my, I've lost my flute." And he said, I want to know where my flute is, and then he found it in Lalita and he wanted her to be punished. And then she said, "Well, you're supposed to be the constable, you've done this, you should be fired." And then Radharani just laughed and she said, "Krishna, why are you making me dance like this? I don't want you to be the constable. I want you to be the king along with me, and we both reign." So that's my rendition of Krishna as the constable. Now, for the rest of the slides we have, except for this one, I think, Radha Krishna, they're going to be more abstract. Maybe not with so much obvious Vaishnava symbolism. And as they go, I'm going to read material that's also like that, kind of wild material from the last days of the year. "I admitted last night to my friend at the kitchen table that I was estranged from my countrymen, and that's all there was to it. When I wore a Navy uniform and traveled by plane or train, I felt I was one of them, and I wanted to be respectable. I wanted to be able to check into a motel and be honored as a respectable citizen to whom a clerk would give keys. So many things like that. A citizen has a job, buys and wears shirts, jackets, pants, shoes. Maybe he has a wife and children. No, not me. I was cast off to sea in Krishna consciousness, not meant to belong to any country. That's the meaning of sannyas and service to Lord Krishna. Not belonging to the heart of a city. Akhmatova writes with such devotion for Moscow." Oh, that, by the way, is not abstract. That's the back of a Rath Yatra cart. And Goldberg says, "The present moment is enormous and it's all we have. I look beyond that for the spiritual world. The sages told, and Prabhupada, of such a place where Lord Krishna lives, beyond this world of death. We follow it. We people, yes, the ones who stop you at airports and hassle you for money, selling you a book. The ones who drive around on a flatbed truck chanting Hare Krishna in Manhattan. The ones you've read of in the newspaper, described as a cult. The ones who read ISKCON World Review and answer the ads for commercialized devotional service. The ones who are governed by a governing body commission who say they are building a city in Mayapur whose temple dome will be taller and grander than St. Peter's of Rome. The ones who are making a hype about the centennial. The ones in Russia, the fanatics, the dear ones. It's with them I want to live and not others. No one else is home. In ISKCON we have so many whimsical fellows floating in and out, wearing funny hats, reading strange books, aside from Prabhupada, saying strange things they picked up from somewhere. Like the guy I met at the Rome temple with long hair and a top knot, sitting reading the newspaper. Ah, to write from the heart, as Williams was able to do at the end of his life. He wrote to his Flossie, Ashwadel, that greeny flower. He lived a life, then drew from it, living honorably with his wife, it seems. We want to be decent in Krishna consciousness. Then draw from that. Oh, ISKCON, this is it. Our life. I would like to write from the heart about Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha and Krishna playing in the Yamuna with the gopis. I would like to write from the heart if I could find my heart. Why not? A brother wrote me unassumingly and said, "Usually I go to India at Kartik, but I'm glad I stayed in America this year. I got some work done and traveled and preached in temples. Although I did not increase my japa quota, I felt happy with my chanting of the small number I do. I was glad to note that I felt the Kartik bonus even while outside India." That can happen. If the Lord likes, he can let us continue to live and travel in 1995, exactly as Madhu has planned it. Our tickets, as we purchase them from donated money, go to many places. For example, we make a connection from Ireland to Milan. We are changing that to Dublin, Madrid. Otherwise, we'll keep what we have arranged. But will we actually be able to follow the itinerary, or will we be stopped along the way? It's no big thing for Krishna to allow or to change it. As my dream said, pain softener. The sooner, the better. As King Riga decided, give me troubles, my troubles first. I'm hopelessly wandering, but want to say, I hope I can be true to the Lord. He is true to his vow, Satyabrata, so why not me to my vow? Log burning, page 6, 5 a.m. Christmas trees. There you go, back in time, to when you went with your father to pick out a special one from a special place. This wasn't like buying Christmas trees from a parking lot. We went to a place that was almost a village in the woods. It was situated on a snowy hill. They sold all kinds of Christmas items. We had to go there in our father's car. I was small then. My father seemed expert in everything, manly and strong, and I feared nothing when I was with him, except fear of him, that he had created me and could squelch and shake me as he liked. That fear was justified, because that's just what he did for 20 years of my life. When we came home with the tree, my father cut off the top and fixed the bottom into a metal plate with screws. Then he allowed my mother, Madeline, and I to decorate it. We placed small metal skaters and sledders on cotton beneath the tree, a green wooden fence around it, and a mirror for the ice pond. The Christmas there will be nothing at all. This Christmas, there will be nothing at all, no contact with Dennis down the hill or his 90-year-old father. He'll have family over, but they won't extend any cheer to us because we don't drink or eat meat. We can have our own Christmas party, make an extra sweet, maybe, and make a prayer to Jesus to thank him for his kindness and ask for his blessings. O tide of blessed words given by Lord Krishna, may I go and chant, that's all I have to say. The poem is an inner landscape, a prayer that you touch me with your holy name in my ear, pain softener, the sooner the better. Give me love, as rock stars sing, can't buy me love, but you can. You can in holy names, which I utter dryly, but pray. The mind is impossible. You know all this. It's up to you, Lord. I paint more of other people, but I don't have any models who would sit for me. Sometimes I don't feel like drawing. Recently, I just lost my enthusiasm for it. A lot of things have to be working right. Sometimes you doubt, this isn't Krishna conscious, because I've been doing writing a lot longer than drawing. And this drawing represents a period like that that happened maybe a month or so ago. I have to mention, by the way, that Chaitanya is a great backup. Every day he, after I paint and make a great mess, he cleans it up and then sets me up the next day to work, and he gets me paints and everything. I couldn't go on without him, with my limited energies. And then regularly Shamananda comes and takes these photographs that we're looking at. And these are slides, but he usually makes regular pictures, and then we send him the Gita Nagari Press, and they use them in the books. So anyway, after kind of drying up and thinking I wasn't going to draw anymore, one day I went back again and asked myself, are you going to keep on drawing? Why not? It's another way to aspire to Krishna consciousness. And then I started up again. That drawing was a turning point. And here's the person who does the work, the artiste. Whenever anybody wants one of my paintings, all they want is Radha Krishna. So nobody wants the others. So sometimes I do them just like production oriented. Okay. Can turn the light on. Yeah, there will be. Now, another book just recently got published, and Daruka was making an effort with Gitanagari Press to get 50 copies. Daruka here? No. But somehow or other, it just didn't make it. It was supposed to come here. We're going to make a big sale to everybody here. Say, here they are, 50 books, and sell them all. But they didn't make it. But probably they will be here very soon, within a few days. But I have an advanced copy of the next copy of Every Day Just Right. Instead of putting three volumes together in expensive hardbound, that was way over our heads. We couldn't do that again. We found it hard to sell those at $30 a volume. So now we're going to do them one volume per book, paperback, but the production company, I mean, Gitanagari Press, they're hopeful of really turning them out fast, and it costs $3,000 per book, compared to much more that the other big ones cost. So anyway, here's the first one. It's come out. It's volume 4. It's got a painting on the cover. I said the paint inside. I have a note about the cover. I said it could have two meanings. One meaning could be that the boy-like disciple is saying to his father, "Dad, I didn't do too well on the spelling exam today at school." And his father, spiritual master, is saying, "That's all right. I still love you." Or the spiritual master, Prabhupada, the big spiritual master, is saying, what is it? "This man is authorized by me. Do what he says." Or accept what he says. So I don't intend to read from it. I just wanted to show you it. But it's also got drawings in it, but they're called grayscale, so black and white. What? Except for the cover.
Have you got that picture here? Original?
No. I don't have it with me. It's, where it is. But what I wanted to do, I picked out some poems from a recently edited EJW that I wanted to read. This is volume 4 that got published, and I'm writing way ahead, almost, and I don't want to tell you how far ahead I am, but I'm on volume 50, and the editor, she's pretty far ahead too, Kaishuri, she's on volume 18, she finished 18, and then it has to go through proofreading, and then it gets stuck, the bottleneck is money to print it. But we thought that we should be enthusiastic to keep writing and editing and bringing it to the last stage. As Baladev, a disciple, put it, he said, "I don't think Krishna will allow so many books to just get piled up. If we just keep producing them, then we'll let them get through." But before I read some poems, I wanted to read an appreciation of the books to help us appreciate them when I read them. And this was written as a kind of Vyaspuja offering by Pranada Dasa, I've found I can't just casually read your books. I can't even get through proofreading a manuscript in production as a detached, simple worker upon whom the words have no hold. Shouldn't I at least be able to get through a proofreading without the words impacting me as they do? But there's nothing casual about reading your books. Well, yes, your style is inviting, even giving the appearance of an easy flow, and thus your books invite me to pick them up when I need something lighter, and I can sit back in an easy chair to browse, and that way your books appear casual. But that first impression is the end of any casualness. They're serious to me because of the nature of our relationship, and they're full of Krishna-conscious content. But these are not the reasons I say there's nothing casual about reading your books. But how could I possibly describe the impact your books have on me when by the very nature of reading them, I am forced to leave behind that person who just read them? How could I possibly capture that experience? I can't, but here are some thoughts. Your books are not casual because as a reader, I have to be prepared to take this striking, emotional, intellectual, and devotional journey you map out in each one. Neither can I just passively take the ride. The writing has a force of its own that propels me into a world similar to yours of self-introspection, discovery, and surrender. That force launches me on this journey while I'm reading your books and propels me long after I put them down. Putting words down on a page appears to be a quiet process, but the movement of internal changes and emotions is far from quiet for the writer. Reading and entering into your world appears to be a quiet process, and you may not always hear from me how each book changes me, but the movement of internal changes and emotion is far from quiet for the reader. From your constant reminders of the cold reality of my impending death, to your graphic description of the suffering of living entities around you, the flowers, the goats, the cows, death everywhere, for me too, and all the heartfelt pangs of wanting to serve Krishna, but being unable to overcome the all-too-thorough conditioning of this body, to break free and reach Krishna's lotus feet. Please change the subject. Please give me hope. Release me from this despair that reaches so deep to the core of my struggle. I love it when you freeze in time, even if just in one line, the marvel of the nature around you. I feel utterly helpless when that twinge behind your right eye starts in. But the entire range of emotions and surrender you describe in dealing with that illness comforts me. No, I don't want to have a similar path of suffering. Oh, Krishna, spare me, please. But I know my protestations are fruitless, and I will suffer the pain I am due. Your realizations will be my guiding light and give me hope. I don't have practical ways to deal with all my mental chatter, emotions, and memory, but I get your point that they're not going to disappear, and I'll have to get along on my own way toward Krishna anyway. Yes, from the despair of unfulfilled desire to reach the goal, to the peace of taking shelter at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, specifically by turning to his books, I have to be prepared to take the striking journey you map out, yanking and reassuring and pulling and soothing and stretching me beyond my limits. You give me brilliant hope, encouragement, and guidance in my journey, developing into a devotee of Krishna. How thankful and indebted I am that you push me along toward Krishna in this way. I like that. Especially the basic point that my experience becomes the experience of the reader. That also saves my writing from the accusation of it being self-absorbed. It's because it becomes not about me, but the reader, it becomes about you. So I picked out some poems, and they tend to be, as she was saying, casual. They tend to be particularly light and good for a meeting like this, and it's got rhythm and wordplay in them. Improvisation and music. And perhaps not so much, they're not like careful essays. you may not always know exactly what's going on, but that's the nature of poems. That poems, they kind of resonate something in you, and you have to give to them. And say I tell it like that, I read that memory about I went up on the hill with my father to pick out a Christmas tree. So you may follow my story and take part in that to a certain degree, but then it resonates something in you of similar memories or feelings about that. So poems do that in ways that we're not always sure even what's being said, but something is being moved within us, if they're successful, and if the listener is actively submissive. So, with your kind permission, I'll read some. I wrote these poems, quite a few volumes now. You won't see it for a while. It won't come out until around EJW volume 8 or so. I started writing a kind of poem where I begin it with the signature music. You know, if those of you who read music, there's a signature. It's like a backwards S that starts the music sheet. And then when the music is over, it has a line with two dots in front of it. So just to kind of show that this was intended to be like music, this is how they start. This is called Christmas Tonight. Tonight there'll be fun, no doubt, and someone will fall in love, because that's what they do tonight. But me? Let it rain. Creak, house, while I walk in the galoshes of my mind. A rubber band, a curling worm in my intestine and yours, hernia, madhus, and tonight Paget and I will play ball. Krishna in Vrindavan, I said, for me, is here in Port Royal, not Pearl Street, Mott Street, Staten Island, where our car passed through last night. Christmas night is over. The presents are wrapped. Tonight is about love of God, his son born in a manger. We want permission to go back to Godhead, but joke and go to Radhakund on Christmas Eve. Green scum on surface, turtles, us afraid, but turning to the source for comfort. Please, Christ, please let me call your father's name with a drop of your sincerity. Some of the words and references that you might not understand, you would if you read the Everyday Just Right, like this volume tells that I just arrived in New York City, and so some of these things, they've already been mentioned earlier in prose in the book, like about Pearl Street and Mott Street, things like that, or hernias and different. So the allusions have already been brought up, and now they're mentioned again in the poem. But I'm just reading it now without them. Sad to recall. He's sad. Such a good creative man died suddenly, noble and loving, but no headache and no remorse. Oh, spiritual master, great souls. You were so great that an institution formed around you, and we have to learn to forgive one another, our bodies strewn. But, Prabhupada, you taught the soul eternal and Krishna as supreme. And it has been worth the price we are paying with our lives many times over. Oh, Prabhupada, I miss you with all my watery heart. This is called Better Get It In Your Soul, and in parentheses, Mangal Arati Tape. And first it says, in parentheses and prose, well, sir, you want to rise early and jump and shout your God consciousness. Kirtan Mangal is the perfect bliss. And the poem begins. Listen, people, gather. Come on, have faith. It's Roland, that good time religion. I believe in sweet pain on Emporium of Temple. Oh, Jagannath and Radha Damodar, it's so good to see. No flies brushed off with chamara. No peacock feathers this cold morn. One leader sing the broadcast Harinam. We'll follow in our each little cubicle of flesh and bone. Mad, I can't get this pen to work as I'd like. We're going so fast. How can this be religion? Soul bright as fire, bright as defeat, as death and ice. Oh, Lord God, I don't mock you. Deliver me this pre-dawn in dark temple with deities dancing tribhanga. Oh, smashing young boy. Swami allowed even the sax and the guy with frankincense and strainer smoking up the Lower East Side sky under the tree, and drummers, flutes, to come and hear the Swami in the park drummers getting higher than on LSD, those premature but unbustable chanters hoping things would clear. We don't ask, whatever happened, because we're still hoping, even on our last stretch. Okay, this is Dumbo becomes a Hare Krishna. Listen to the love of heart. Musicians, they cry without tearing down anyone. But when you do get down, you become one sad herring, no happy clown, wailing it all out, what's coming down. We cry, we're so sad, so happy. Don't know whether we're drooling in Maya or from the center of our home. Oh Krishna, angel with fat cheeks, I cry out to you. Do I sound like Dumbo on a bender? Dumbo out to fracas, lurch. That Dumbo of my starry boyhood in Queens. Dumbo goes west, becomes a Hare Krishna. Wears a kopim, a dhoti, switches to a sari and braid. He doesn't blaspheme, this Dumbo, the mad elephant. We play, we Dumbos, and we hurt nobody, even if we're so serious, ex-GBC emeritus types. Ah, that's the word. And we left holding the bag of old sadhubhushanams. Oh Krishna, a mantra, I'm game to revive my hopes with old friends, if only they be indulgent. I've written elsewhere about a Dumbo, a movie by Walt Disney. Was a very wondrous thing for me, which I saw at a very early age. And after we saw it, my father took us to a record store and bought the record and the music and played the music a lot. So it's a deeply ingrained thing for me somehow. Okay, this is called Burnt Orange. This happy day, infectious happy birthday, a loving man. This man, lonely, thinks he's no good at art, poetry, or religion. A farmer in shocking orange and a gun, don't shoot me, drives a tractor. I thought he'd see me and wonder who I was, my pale orange, burnt orange, dawn peach, saffron, a member monk, so mark him. Oh Lord, I want to return to you, Lord in all things. I couldn't find you. In my ankle ache or the cars on the road, thought only that it might be nice here in summer, violet crawlers creeping up the trees. But while his wife and child wait at home, while he goes off to work, the drudge we each feel worthless, and the suddenly a lift back into our working groove, my groove. I am the priest for a flock near here. They expect me to accept them, to detect in them what is good, to give them batteries of wisdom from Prabhupada. I wrote that while staying in the house of a householder who lives near Gitanagri, and I was thinking of him. He has to work 9 to 5, and looking at his car and the farmer nearby. It's not like these thoughts just come out of nowhere. Let's go along. Hang on, I want Krishna consciousness. Oh, North Ireland and that little room which appears to hold my Radha Govinda and no ghosts. Oh, Lord, please help us. I'm in a moaning part of life, it seems, where you go guttural and cry to Krishna for help. The truth is I want to see Krishna, oh, Lord. Srila Bhakti Saranda Saraswati recommended tears. No dry eyes in the Bhakti house. St. Teresa of Avila mocked persons who squeezed a few tears out of a prayer session. It cannot be imitated. We cry for love and the lack of it. this rack. I cried at Doris's house after a few days in the barracks, cried all night on LSD in my Suffolk Street apartment. My paradise was empty, and I had just found out. But this new song, To Cry of Bitter Hope, a soldier marching on the Bhakti Marg, lost, but wishing to pick flowers for Radha and Krishna, that cry of despair. I'm severely selecting them. Akita Nagri, I was there in the snow time, and I noticed the peacocks around 5 in the evening. They would jump one by one up into the trees, and the whole thing was quite pretty. Well, this is called Dusk, New Year's Eve. Dusk, blue, the columns sinking before my eyes, but I don't forget, it's God. Sun gone, white peahen, is she wounded, crying? Peahen, as white as snow, flits to roof, lands on snow crust. Krishna, I heard Nana while walking outdoors. Krishna, Krishna, I call on you and the effort will be dusk-like. Water in the creek, frozen, stark white flakes, snowing again. Would like to go out and walk, but I'm indoors reading the Bhagavatam. Look, wind moving a 10-foot tall evergreen, thin branches, sugar and snowdrops. It moves me not. A sheaf of colored drawings. I enjoy the messages they contain. I explain to a friend how I painted them. Krishna, Krishna and Narada, the words, laid on or pasted later. Krishna wants devotion, controlled senses, worship. Right now in Vrindavan, some sadhus have very few clothes and only ripped burlap bags for bedclothes. I hear their sounds now in my mind. Sweet Baba, holy rocks, dirt, eternal. Open letter to boss. I'm not feeling so good, boss, but still I gotta work, right? I'm feeling blue, not so Krishna conscious. That's the main thing. Not feeling so much because I play it safe. I'm getting old. Not feeling for people because I'm selfish. My sound is my own. I know the idiom of it and have learned how to innovate. Boss, I'm not feeling the love you told me I'd feel, but trying to serve and serve. I'm your servant, but gee, after 31 years in the business, I want to shake out my own love and reach for it, but make a suitable contribution to your movement so it moves, past being a society of rules and big shots and opposition parties and powerful apathy. Boss, Lord, your chela is lagging, is mine. Sons of his own, daughters, granddaughters, can I tell them who I really am? And why, boss, do I lag so in central Krishna consciousness? Why? Is it that I don't work enough? He wants more, said St. Francis. And naive Brother Leo asked, why? Haven't you done enough? No, not enough. He wants me to go to my cell and he'll tell me what more. Not enough have I done. Boss, push me through just when I'm begging you to give me a break. some peace, space, my own room, no demands. I know I'm a sad case, but your memory and your picture, what you suffered to bring us to Krishna, helpless you seem as you endured, is love. This is the last one I had marked. Okay, I'll read it. It's called Irreversible Commitment. Listen, friend, before it gets too dark to see the chimney, I'm a little boy lost, but the baby was playing cartels in the other room, and I was in here, resting lazy, couldn't move, said, just relax for tomorrow's big day. Krishna consciousness is like that, where you go at it in the best fashion, you and your friends. You get together and admit stuff that may be scary or vulnerable, like how come I don't love to hear my guru like I used to? How come the temples are so empty or filled with a sound I can't bear? Where's the nature of man and pudding? Krishna is in all things, even dogma, and we are in a background of secret confidential. But irreversible, once we took to Krishna consciousness and made that kind of promise not to allow the dogs to bark, not even any Ravi Shankar anymore. Oh, beautiful faced guru, ridiculous. Let us take a video of your divine grace, please, for our family's sake, before the dark closes over roof and chimney. This improvisation is helping me to understand there is no truth in the driveway. He parks the car nice, over warm winter morn, walking in mist, dark, pre-dawn, where newspaper was thrown on senior servant property. This stuff is Krishna conscious because the whole world is. My 1 hour talk is just a certain direct way, but ink flies all over, and then coherency and vocab shrink. Krishna, a baby, plays cartels for Sundar Arti. O Radha Govinda, mine, I am waiting to come to you. Come home to Ireland, the land of irreversible direct Krishna consciousness, where I'm never better nor worse than I am. The background to that is written in the room where I was staying in Baltimore, where I was giving the meetings to the devotees, and reference to the baby in the house and to taking walks in the senior citizens park and all things like that come out of that experience, which was mentioned earlier in the prose. Well, that's all I had to plan. Hope everyone had a good day. Oh, here we have another slideshow. It's like the cartoons on a Saturday morning. 35 cartoons. We have another one. Unfortunately, I have a sore throat and I'm tired, but I don't have to work with this one because it's all on tape. It's some music by Madhu Mangal, another Irish artist, in the background. And slides. This time you can put all the lights out, huh? I'm gonna put my sweater on too. So I'm reading every day, just right again. And we made this tape with music. But when you hear it, so you know it's working.
It says, welcome to a multimedia presentation in Krishna consciousness. I'm going to be reading from my book, Every Day, Just Right, and we'll have a musical background. At the same time, we'll be showing you some slides that are illustrations from my books. So please relax, and at the same time, stay alert, and I hope you have a good time. I'm reading from a book that's not published yet. It's called Econoline Preacher. That's the name of the particular volume of Every Day Just Right. It tells about a trip we took in Europe in September 1997. I'm beginning on a Sunday in Mittelago, ISKCON Temple, 5 p.m. I hear you have head pressure. Yeah, but I'll go on stage anyway. Try to transcend it. Maybe I can forget it during the lecture. Well-dressed Italians wandering around this village. To these people I'll say, I don't speak Italian. I'm from New York City, USA. Then tell them not to get caught up in temporary pursuits. Yeah. I wrote the biography. I met the Swami. My father is a Guinea. My mom is an Irish Mick. New generation. They were both born in USA. Oh. Tell us about transmigration. And what's this about King Kong? You've got a what? A head pressure? Go manly. 6:35 p.m. Banging headache. But I did it. I made it through. It turned out to be quite a basic lecture. But I went the full time and even over about 6:20 p.m. On my way out, I met a woman who was a card reader, fortune teller. She says she tells people about Krishna and Govinda. I told her, it's a good thing. Then I finally got to the van. Madhu Mangal told me one of my godbrothers here said he wanted to see me for 10 minutes. Madhu told him he can't see me. I said, let me see if I can see him tomorrow morning before the class. Now let's see if this turns into a right eye headache or what. Thank you, Prabhupada, for letting me give the class. It was a pleasure to speak in such a traditional way. I was thinking the way you would speak and tell them not to waste their lives, but to practice Krishna consciousness. Thank you. And then comes a poem called The Econoline Preacher. Now buckle your seatbelt in the best of Fords and roar over Autostrada to the next place, private viewpoint of September end. Lasagna, pizza, ravioli, Pavaroli, Vivaldi, and Jaya Govinda. Inscape and looking out, lecturing from the books. You are headache prone and fall down prone. Women in poetry prone. It sometimes hurts. But do your best and remember Swamiji wrote with his own hand on your own apologetic letter, may Krishna protect you from calamities. In the days that remain, let no one be blind to the truth of Krishna's Gita. Tell them and yourself, surrender to the King, sweet Lord, in threefold bending form, and Radha's blessing on us. That's the end of the poem. And now, what I'll read is actually the last section in this particular volume, because I felt we were ending a certain part of our trip. I just recalled those pauses in Srila Prabhupada's Bhaktivedanta purports at the beginning of the fourth and eighth cantos, where he reassesses the work that had been done so far and prayed for the mercy of the previous acharyas and the Lord that he could go on and continue and complete the work. Prabhupada writes with obeisances to his spiritual master, by whose order I am engaged in this Herculean task of writing commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam as the Bhaktivedanta purports. In the beginning of the eighth canto, Prabhupada summarizes his first meeting with his spiritual master and the orders he received from him. He personally told me that publishing books is more important than constructing temples. I am continuously trying to publish books as suggested by my spiritual master. Prabhupada then prays to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to give me strength to finish this work. I am neither a great scholar nor a great devotee. I am a humble servant of my spiritual master, and to the best of my ability, I am trying to please him by publishing these books with the cooperation of my disciples in America. Let us cooperatively publish more and more volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, just to please his divine grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I am a tiny speck from the gold mine that is Srila Prabhupada. I also pray to him for strength to continue my writing, which now goes under the name of Every Day Just Right. It is in some ways perhaps a whimsical work, and is certainly imperfect and impure as I am. But Prabhupada knows my intentions to serve him, which fortunately he incited in me from the very beginning when I met him. He always has protected me and given me good service. I pray that he will accept this writing despite its deficiencies and excesses. I trust that the Supreme Lord is Bhavagrahi Janardana and can see that despite my outer faults, I have a simple intention to serve him with my work in the spirit of Yat Karosi Yat Jahosi. If Prabhupada desires, I wish to go on writing many more books of Krishna consciousness for my purification and for assisting and inspiring his many, many followers all over the world. Thus we may happily chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 15th volume of Every Day Just Right, completed September 22, 1977 at Villaggio, Hare Krishna, Villaggio, Italy. Next, I'm going to read from the book that actually followed that volume. The next one is called Put Yourself Out, which I think came from Madhu when I was lagging in my strength to continue this tour. And he said, well, you have to put yourself out a little longer. So we did. But what I'm going to read is, when the trip was over, we finally visited England and got the last ferry, and now we're in our van and we're traveling back to our home at that time, which was Inishrat. Cows, cows, trees, the bunchy clouds. Won't be long now before you'll be in sight of that lovely scenery of ISKCON's Inishrat, water, sky, land. Won't be long now before you put your back to van ride. Change this home for that. North Ireland, what a strange destination. Black crows in a green field beside a rushing stream. Red car turns off Glenmore, scenic walk, Presbyterian Church, road sign. The white stripe shooting out from the back of our van. The trees are still green, autumn comes slow here. In America, they should be all crispy, copper fallen on the ground by now. It's only the first week in October over. Brown, deep cows, small houses, often with no paint job, just the cement outer wall. Get into it, man, you're coming back home. You change homes. Used to be Peter Nagar, eh? Used to be met there by so many disciples that the Zonal Acharya said, and Paramananda ready to talk with you, to hear you out about the latest problems. No time for yourself. This is really sweet now, what Krishna is giving me, so I want to use it well. Try to think of serving him, even though you are not fully surrendered. Breakfast served 7 days a week, farmhouses, tractors, trucks. I'm going to a place where I'll be able to sleep, sometimes even without earplugs. You won't have to hear rock and roll. Out the window, there'll be no city street. Well, of course, it could be disrupted, but one doesn't expect it to be. But if you take birth as a cow, you have to always remember that. 17-year-old Dr. Sam admitted that his is the age for enjoying like anything, but he says he checks himself from it by just thinking of how he's going to grow old. Smart fellow. At his age, I was in complete mind. He lives at Bhaktivedanta Manor and is a book distributor. He likes to read my books. Unique gifts and crafts. Model winding around the corners. Dublin, Armagh, Ballygowan, Belfast. Don't try to see it all. Let it fly by. Enjoy your ride home. Arrival. Everything is up to Krishna. It was so nice being able to talk to him as a supreme person, a real person. In the back of this van, the top window vent is down. The big bottles of water, which I won't be using anymore, shift back and forth with a tiny toilet bowl. Fixed to the wall is the picture of Govardhan Hill and the white cows and the Madan Mohan silhouettes. I'm not there, although many godbrothers are going there. That's all right. We can have our own curry. Read other top books. In the back of this van, the books are strapped in with motorcycle straps. You can unload them soon. You're bringing back some Bristol boards too, but I don't know if I'll have the courage and enthusiasm to paint. Let's go. I'm bringing back a new dyed sweatshirt, bringing back a few extra US dollars, or bringing back you know what. How about rehearsing a line for when you arrive? Say, glad to be back. Hello, how are you? That's all I do. Agricultural Society, LTD, fertilizers. This is a town where they do the animals in. Cleanly. Signs in the other direction to Belfast. Snoopy horse in the field. Irish castle by a lake. Little plot of phone stones. Most of them black stones. Tiny building labeled Gospel Mission. Green meadows where the sheep eat. Birds like crows cruise by. The slow moving cows. Some owners own brown ones. Some own black ones. Some own black and white ones. And some own sheep. The people who own them often have tattered clothes like suit jackets that they wear when they go out into the field. They seem to hate their animals, splash them with red dye. They live off those animals, and doing it for generations. We're lucky. Yeah, when I get back, I'll get into the seventh canto. It's a very familiar story, but I'll read it carefully. And it won't seem like a myth, and I won't be tired of it. I want that reality, not just this reality like I see out the window of the van, or even the reality of the Danish rock in a superficial way. Go to a place so that you can study Prabhupada's books, the reality of Prahlad Maharaj, and how his father tortured him, and where Prabhupada says in the purports, the relevance. You have to really read it in a nice state so that you overcome familiarity. So your writing while reading can help you in that, like you did in the book. C.C. Ashraya. Going through town. Trident Inn. Guinness Stout. Rockmore Lounge. So many. Huckster Street. And then out of the town. And it's the same stuff again. The streams, the little stone bridges, plenty of cows. And now we are passing what looks like some kind of fortified police station. Or maybe it's something connected with the border. Walls to prevent bombing, surveillance, cars zipping in both directions. We should be heading home away from madness like that. We're making good time as usual with Madhu at the helm of this Ford panel line. It took us only 3.5 hours to go from Guru Dakshin's house all the way up to Newcastle. Now it's 10 minutes to 1. Perhaps we won't be so late after all.